It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can send in your questions and comments. Hashtag Giants Chat. Good morning, everybody. The draft finally just 4 days away. The schedule released late last week. And joining us to talk about all this and more and taking your calls, of course, is beat reporter for Giants.com, the great Michael Eisen. Michael, good morning.
Hi, John. How are you?
Well, I think both of us are pretty happy we're finally to the week of the draft. We've been getting enough questions, you and your mailbag, me on the show, about who the Giants are going to pick. And I know you figured it out over the weekend. You were hard at work. You were talking to Jerry Reese. You're doing your research, and you have pinpointed who the Giants are taking with the 19th pick, right?
Absolutely. As Jerry said, the best available player. I hope that clears it up for you, John. Thanks, and it was great being on.
But in all seriousness, and all joking aside, I'm not even sure that the scouts and Jerry and Mark Ross have the big board done yet where they have the guys ranked. I think they're still in the process of doing that. I haven't talked to the guys. They're all here over the weekend, obviously, working all weekend to try to get that big board put together. And all these guys that are making these mock drafts, all the Giants are taking him, the Giants are taking him. Well, here's the problem with all that. In order to know who the Giants are going to take at 19, besides the fact that the Giants don't even know who they're going to take yet, you also have to know who the other 18 teams are going to take with their pick. Because, to me, this is one of the drafts, and one of the first drafts in a long time, where you really have no clue, and I mean no clue, who's going to be on the board when the Giants go in 19. This thing's a mess.
Yeah. Well, there's no question about it, but, you know, I always go back to, I look at all the mock drafts, just sort of interested to see what people think, who people think we're going to take, and I just know in past years, I'm fortunate enough to be able to go into the draft room on draft day, and I read, who people think we're going to take and why we're going to take them, and then I go in and look at the draft board, and what the Giants scouts and coaches and Jerry Reese have in their heads is so much different than people outside the organization that really it's almost a waste of time for people outside to do this guessing, because it's just not true.
Is it almost like sometimes they're looking, because I've never been in the draft room, so I've never had this experience, and I think it's fascinating. I'm always at Radio City, and we're usually in contact over the course of the night talking about who the Giants are thinking about taking, all that stuff. But does it almost seem like the guys online and the reporters and the experts are looking at a different player than the Giants are, that like it's so different than what people say?
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah, absolutely. I go in prior to the draft and look at the board and see the grades and see how they're rated, and it's like, man, this is a whole lot different than what I've been reading the last month or so. And they're the ones who spend all their time studying these players and talking to them and watching their games and their practices. So these are the guys, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, yeah, no question about it, much more so than anybody that's, writing stories or anything like that. This is these guys' jobs. This is what they do 24/7. I think the perfect example is last year when the common narrative about the Giants draft last year, the Bucks outwitted Jerry Reese. They went ahead of him to, pick Doug Martin, and the Giants wanted Doug Martin, but they had to settle for David Wilson, and that wasn't the case at all.
No, not at all. The Giants preferred David Wilson right from the get-go, Martin got off to a strong start last year, and people were saying, the Giants picked the wrong draft. But as I've pointed out before, if you look at the total yards among rookies last year, Doug Martin was first with 1,926. David Wilson was second with 1,925.
Bad.
Yeah, so it's pretty close.
201-939-4513. We take your questions on the NFL draft and everything else New York Giants football. And we'll stick on that. We can also take your questions about the schedule as well. Mike and I will touch on that in just a bit, too. In terms of this draft, Mike, the consensus seems to be, and obviously I use that word loosely, that the Giants are more likely than not going to choose, or just overall for the draft, we'll start with this first, it's going to be more of a defensive draft for the Giants than it is an offensive draft. And simply based on where they ranked defensively last year, and quite frankly, the year before, the year they won the Super Bowl, the defense wasn't exactly a top-five defense either.
Right, until the playoffs.
Until the playoffs, exactly. You would think this would be a more of a defense-heavy draft, right?
Well, you would think so in terms of need, but it's, again, who's available.
Right.
I don't know if it's a defense-heavy draft in terms of the players who are draft-eligible. And I thought all along that the Giants are going to take an offensive lineman pretty high in the draft, no matter what their needs are on defense. So,
well, and I'll tell you what, you mentioned offensive line. I'm sorry for interrupting, but everybody seems to be, well, they're taking an offensive lineman. I saw a mock draft the other day where they had 5 out of the 10 first picks be offensive linemen, 3 tackles and 2 guards. 5 out of 10, and,
wow.
And then another before 15.
Wow.
I mean, it's crazy how many offensive linemen are being projected to go early. I remember last year, people made a big deal when David DeCastro, I think it was supposed to go 12. Like, it's the highest an offensive guard has ever been picked. Now I'm seeing 2 guards this year being projected in the top 10. It just seems like something I've never seen before.
Well, that's what happens when you have no quote-unquote franchise quarterbacks in the draft. That's what it is.
Or running backs, for that matter.
Yeah. And it's really wide open. It's such a wide open top of the draft. No one's really sure what's going to happen up top. And, you know, the first pick is projected to be an offensive lineman. So, you don't have the glamorous players, the obvious stars at the top of the draft. That makes it uncertain from 1 down to 32.
Let's go to our phones at 201-939-4513. Let's go to Anthony in Phoenix, Arizona. Anthony is up early this morning. What's up, Anthony?
Good morning, guys. I'm glad I caught you this morning. A lot of times I sleep in.
I don't blame you. I would, too.
So do we.
Listen, with the draft coming up, I'm reading the same thing that you are with what the experts, so-called experts outside, are saying. I know we need an inside linebacker. Now, the big thing they're saying they're going to grab, probably draft, if he's available, Ogletree. But I'm leaning towards Manti Te'o if he's available. And the reason I say this, and I'll listen to you after you, is because he seems to be more of a leader. He seems to be smarter, and being more so of a local guy and staying less out of trouble than the other guy, than Ogletree is, because Ogletree had his off-the-field antics, which in New York just won't carry.
Well, Anthony, it's funny. To me, these two guys are almost diametrically opposite of one another. Te'o is known for being a great, he interviewed off the charts at the combine, or at least that's what people are saying is what happened. He's a smart player, very motivated, knows what he's doing, loves the game. And Ogletree's more of a guy where you worry about some of the intangible stuff, but people call him, Mike, one of the best athletes in the draft, especially a linebacker.
Yeah, and if he's got off-the-field stuff, which he does, really the Giants, if they're interested in him, will have studied that as closely as they possibly can. And if they determine it's not going to be an issue going forward, then it won't be an issue when their turn comes up and he's still there, if he's still there. But, I don't know about Te'o. I'm not sold on Manti Te'o. I still think he's kind of a one-dimensional player. And it's become a cliche at this point, but you go back to that national championship game, and he just played poorly against top competition. I don't know how much help he'd give you on third down and passing situations. I don't know if you spend, the 19th pick in the draft on a two-down linebacker. I'm just, and this is just my own opinion, obviously. They may think highly of him upstairs, but I don't know that I would reach out for Manti Te'o in the first round of the draft.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I'll be listening. Thank you.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it, Anthony. It's funny how you draft linebackers now has changed, and also how you draft safeties really have changed too. Just because of the way NFL offenses are now, you always have 3 wide receivers on the field. You have these tight ends that are 6'6", run 4'5", 40-yard dashes, and these poor linebackers have to cover these guys down the field. And, big guys, even like a Harry Carson, he couldn't play middle linebacker today. He's just not fast enough in a lot of ways. And it's just the way you draft these guys is now very, very different.
It is. But then, the other side of that coin is Tom Coughlin's first priority on defense is stop the run. You still need the burly guys in the middle,
true,
whether on the line or at linebacker, to stop the run. So at some point, you've got to get somebody to do that. Or else, you can still lose if a team runs all over you.
And that happened enough last year, quite frankly.
Yeah, Giants, no question the Giants had trouble stopping the run last year.
And it's funny, people talk about need at linebacker, and frankly, it's been a conversation we've had here taking calls for years now. But as I take a look at the board, there seems to be a better chance that value lines up with need at a different position other than linebacker. There just doesn't seem to be that number of really top talent, high grade linebackers that'll be there at 19 as opposed to some other position.
Well, I think it's a people say it's a lineman draft, offensive and defensive lineman. And if that's, you know, it's a cliche also, but everyone knows how the Giants traditionally feel about pass rushers. You can't have too many of them. So if there's a pass rusher there at 19 or a stud offensive lineman that they like, we'll see.
Especially in an offseason where they already lost one of their best pass rushers in OCU Manura.
Right.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Charlie up in Maine. Charlie, what's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's
hey.
Up?
Hey, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Cat Jones. I just found out that he's been cleared to play, and he actually worked out for the Philadelphia Eagles. Why aren't the Giants bringing this gentleman in, considering everything this guy's gone through? And the Giants also said that this guy's going to be a Giant for life and we're going to stand by him, blah, blah, blah. And you got a 90-man roster. Why not bring this guy in? Let him have the opportunity to put on a New York Giant uniform that he's been working for 3 years and take a shot at this guy.
Yeah, you know, look, I don't know the answer to the specific question. I do know that, you know, teams have different doctors giving physicals, and maybe one doctor would have cleared him to play, and another doctor on another team will not have cleared him to play. And again, I'm not sure. I haven't talked to anybody about it. I don't know if the Giants, when the last time they examined it, if they've cleared him to play. Maybe the Giants have just decided he hasn't played football in, 3 years? It's time to move on. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons.
Remember, he was here last year in the offseason, tried to work. The Giants sounded optimistic. He sounded optimistic.
They sent him home.
And he was here, a week?
Yeah.
Before he had to go home, and his leg just wasn't ready. And, you know, that was a scenario, Charlie, where they thought he might lose his leg. The accident was that bad. So, you know, giving him a look, I get it.
I totally understand that. But why would the Philadelphia Eagles bring him in and work him out? He's been cleared. So I'm just saying the Giants waited so long and stayed with this guy.
Well, I disagree. I don't think the Giants have – I think the Giants have moved on, quite frankly. I don't think they've been waiting.
Well,
they haven't waited for him.
That's too bad. That's really too bad, considering the Giants said he's going to be a Giant for life and he's part of the family and all that. And then when the guy's actually ready maybe to play, you're not to give him a shot. I think that's pretty pathetic. I mean, he would be an inspiration just for the whole team, seeing him on the field and just – you know, even if he didn't make the team – you know, maybe they'd cut him in, you know, in training camp or whatever. That's fine. But to give the guy an opportunity to wear the big blue after all he's gone through, I just think that's pretty sad state.
Well, again,
if he ends up with the Eagles, that's going to be really a big sad state.
Why? That's what everyone said when Steve Smith ended up in the Eagles 2 years ago. How'd that work out?
Yeah, well, Steve Smith had you know, a bunch of problems, and he's going to get back in the league, and he'll probably have a great year in Tampa this year. So you don't know. Sometimes people take a while to heal, and I'm just saying, to bring this guy in after all he's gone through, and after the Giants said they're going to stand behind him, he's part of the family, and then just to let him go when he's finally cleared to play, it doesn't make any sense.
Charlie, I hear you, but one more quick thing before you say goodbye. The Giants have done a lot with Chad Jones and did stand by him through the toughest times when there was no chance of him playing. And they worked with his doctors. They tried to get him well. They had him here last year. So the Giants really did stick with him when a lot of other teams wouldn't. When he was going through his worst problems, when it didn't look like there was a chance he would ever play again.
Right.
And I think the organization, quite frankly, deserves more credit sticking with the guy when they knew there was no chance he could help them in the short term than killing him now that when he's trying to go out there, find an NFL team. And if Chad Jones can find the NFL team and play, good for him. Great. That's fantastic. The Giants, for whatever reason, and remember, no one knows more about Chad Jones' medical situation than the New York Giants. I promise you that. And if they don't believe he can help, then you have to understand that there's no place for him on the football team of the Giants, do not think. He is healthy to the point where he can help the football team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that. But you also have 90 players that you're going to be bringing in, and most of those players will never see a snap, and they're just there to, you know, help out in training camp. Why not take one of those roster spots, bring this guy in, let him put on the uniform and be part of the team, especially when he's been cleared? I mean, I understand they were behind him when he couldn't play, but now there's a possibility he can play, and they're nowhere around. That doesn't make sense to me at all.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. We appreciate it, bud. Yep.
Bye-bye.
You have a good one. 201-939-4513. Stick on the phones. And still in New England, we go to Don up in New Hampshire. Don, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you today?
Doing all right, Don.
How are you?
Good. Great program, as always.
And thank you.
It's neat to have the Giants hype all year round, even when they're not playing. I love that.
We do what we can, man.
Yeah, man, that's good. Question, has Victor Cruz signed yet? That you know of?
No.
No, not that we've heard.
Okay. Although the deadline passed without him getting an offer. From another team. So Victor Cruz basically has three options. He can sign his one-year tender, he can sign a long-term deal that the Giants have offered, or he can hold out.
That's it. Victor Cruz will be – Victor Cruz, if he's going to play football next year, Don, he's going to play football for one team, the New York Giants. He's not playing for anybody else.
And it would be really stupid for him to sit out the year because he would lose a year toward free agency. He would be in the same position again next year.
And quite frankly, I think it would be stupid for him to just sign the one-year tender too. But at least there's a theory behind why that makes sense from him financially. But I think the smart thing for Victor, and the more and more you're seeing these reports from people in the papers, now we don't know if they're true. This is just what newspaper reporters are reporting, that the offer is basically all but $8 million a year.
Right.
If he's not willing to take that over a four-year period, even a five-year period, and sign another free agent deal when he's 30 or 31, he's really not thinking straight, and he's really making a big mistake, in my opinion.
Okay. And the other question is, so he's gone past the deadline. He could. We don't even know. We don't even know if the Giants actually have that same offer on the table now that the deadline.
Well, we assume they do. I don't think they'll pull him. Although if he doesn't sign by some day, I forget what the date is in June, the tender goes down. So even if he chooses to play for the one-year tender and he delays in signing it until after whatever it is, June 15th, they can reduce it to, I think it's 110% of last year's salary or something like that. So he's got to make a decision reasonably quick.
Okay. So the final thing is here's where I'm going with all this.
Okay.
He hasn't signed. And we are going into the draft. Does that throw a monkey wrench into the way Mr. Reese or whoever the organization drafts? Do we have to look for another wide receiver in the draft, or what do you think?
My opinion is no, because as John said, if he's going to play football in 2013, it's going to be with the Giants. I really, frankly, cannot imagine a scenario where he would be so stubborn and obstinate that he would sit out. I mean, it does him no good to sit out. From a financial and certainly a public relations standpoint. So, no, I don't think it. Victor Cruz's status will affect the Giants' draft at all this week. Well, if there's a receiver there they like and the value's there at some round, they'll take a receiver, but it's got nothing to do with Victor Cruz.
Okay. Makes perfect sense. Okay, thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call as always. And you're right, Mike. And Jerry Reese has actually asked that exact question at the press conference last Thursday. And he basically said the same thing. Look, we expect Victor Cruz to be here. We don't know that he's going to be here, but we expect him to be here. And quite frankly, they have more than enough confidence in Reuben Randall, in my opinion, to step in there and be the number two wide receiver if they need him to. They have Jarrell Jernigan, who was a third-round pick. They hope. He's worked in the slot a lot. They hope he could step in and do the job in that position. So I don't
Lewis
think
Murphy.
Lewis Murphy as well, their new acquisition. I don't think they feel any pressure. Even if Victor does decide to do something foolish and hold out, I don't think that's a situation where they're going to be panicking, about not having a wide receiver.
I completely agree.
A couple more calls on the line, 201-939-4513. Lennon Maryland, whose favorite player, Sylvester Williams, is slowly creeping up draft boards around the internet, Len.
I think I'll tell you, if Sylvester Williams is there, I wouldn't hesitate in the least. Of course, If the Cooper guy, also from North Carolina, is there at the same time, or if we think we've got a real need at right tackle and Fluker is available, maybe Sylvester, maybe we have to pass on Sylvester. But I wouldn't be terribly disappointed if, as you know, if it was Sylvester Williams as our first-round pick. But, you know, geez, I just think I'm feeling pretty good about this draft. I think we're going to get a good player at 19.
Well, you better. And it's a first-round pick.
And from what I'm reading, I think we're going to get an impact player. I think there's going to be enough people there. We're going to get somebody good. Jerry's going to do the right thing. But he may surprise us. It may be a wide receiver. It may be a defensive back. I think in that first round, you really have to look best player available. And hopefully, you know, it fits a need. Let me go on record, though. First round, 19th pick. Manti Te'o is going to be there. I don't want him in the first round. If you can get to Jerry, tell him I said don't draft men in the first round. Now, if he lasts till the second, which he's not, he's going to go. He's a football player. But I think there's just going to be a lot of nonsense associated with him. And in the Big Apple, it's going to be a lot to bear for this kid to come in and play. And if he doesn't play well right from the start, geez, it's going to be a tough road to hoe for him. So this is more about what it's going to be like for him to play in New York than it is what his talent level is, because he's probably a top 50 player, maybe even a top 40 player. But again, I'm feeling pretty good about this draft, and I would just, you know, I always like to be right, John, so I hope it's Sylvester Williams. But chances are Jerry's going to, you know, surprise us all with the pick, and, you know, second and third rounds, there's going to be some good football players there also. So, I'm looking forward to the week, and can't wait till Thursday night. We get this infusion of talent, which is so important in the NFL. And here we go again. The season's coming around, John.
Hey, appreciate it, Len.
Okay, take care.
You have a good one.
Bye.
And Len's been harping for Sylvester Williams for quite a while. And the one thing I want to bring up that Len talked about is that if, you know, Jonathan Cooper or Chance Warmack, one of the guards, are there at 19, for one, those guys are both being projected to go top 15. And here's the bigger problem. If one of those guys is there at 18 with the Cowboys' offensive line problems, they're probably going to pick the guy
Absolutely.
That's left.
Yeah.
So I doubt very much one of those top two guards is probably going to drop to the Giants at 19.
Yeah, and guard is not traditionally a position the Giants use a first-round draft choice on. I mean, those two are exceptional, and I would guess if they were there, they'd certainly be in the running. But as you said, they're not expected to be there, so I don't think guard will be the first-round position. But again, I do think that there'll be a couple of offensive linemen added in this draft. I mean, the Giants, when the season begins, Will Beatty, you look at the projected starting offensive line, Will Beatty's the only one under 30.
All right, 201-939-4513, final call of the show. Let's go to Shakes down in Maryland. Shakes, what's happening?
Hey, man, what's going on?
What's up, pal?
I'm the last caller, huh?
Last caller, yeah.
All right, I want to speak on three things, and then I'm done.
Sure.
First off, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. Big ass to Baltimore. I mean, I'm really originally from New York, but I live in Baltimore. So I watched a lot of this kid just going to his games from Dunbar, that I live like, 3 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
Tavon Austin, congratulations. You're going to be a first-round pick, kid. He's going to be a beast. I see a bright future for him. I wish he was in Big Blue, but I know he's going to be gone before we pick.
He's a playmaker, I'll tell you that. That kid is a playmaker. He will be a very dangerous player in the DeSean Jackson mold for a very long time.
Me and my father, we big on speed. We think, you know, you can't teach it. So, you know, that's one thing you can't teach is speed. So, we big on that. So, yeah. I also wanted to talk on Jerry Reese, because the last show, I said he holds things to his chest, and he does. He don't give out anything, but he does give out little hints if you read it, and I read him, and I don't think he's going to go right tackle first round from what he says, because he's actually banking on Brewer. He's actually wanting Brewer to step up and take that spot. So I think, like, in second round, maybe a guard or a tackle, but I think that he just threw us a little bone right there. And my last thing I wanted to speak on was is Kenny Phillips, because I was high on Kenny Phillips. I told you I prayed that we draft him that year, and I wanted to say, like, what did we do to make him so mad? I mean, he just left for cheap. I think we could probably would have matched that. I know the Giants wanted him back. I know this. And then he goes to the Eagles. I mean, I hate the Eagles more than I hate anything in the world. So to go to the Eagles, I mean, what did we do so wrong?
Well, Shakes, honestly, I'm not sure if the Giants were going to pay Kenny Phillips that amount of money. I don't think they believe in their heart of hearts that with that knee, with those two knees even, that he's going to be able to stay healthy long-term and be a productive player. And I think if there's one thing the Giants try to do this offseason, Shakes, is get players that will practice and that will stay healthy. Tom Coughlin is sick of guys not practicing during the week, being questionable for game day, and Kenny Phillips was one of those guys perpetually over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, you're right. I seen him, like, I watched him play in college, and, you know, I was high on him like I'm high on Ogletree. So it was like, I was like, wow, like, I thought he was going to be very good. I thought he was the next coming up Ed Reed coming out of college, but it didn't work out that way. It looked like it until he got that injury in Dallas, and then it was just over from there.
Appreciate the call, Shakes.
All right, man. Thank you.
Hey, take it easy. All right, Mike, one quick before we say goodbye, we talked all sorts of the draft, obviously. Give me your highlights of the schedule. What are you looking forward to most? Anything surprise you? Anything you're psyched about? What do you got?
I'm looking forward to the Raiders coming in, because I think that's that's about as sure a win as I think we're going to have all year.
Now don't you better not let Coach Coughlin hear that. He will kill you.
I know.
Especially if they ever lost that game.
Yeah.
You'd be on the firing line.
You know, there's so many highlights when you look at the Giants' schedule. You know, certainly the opener in Dallas, the Sunday night opener in Dallas, and then coming back to play Peyton Manning and the Broncos the last week. You know, that's huge. You know, it's interesting. You got the Eagles twice in 4 games, and then you got the Redskins twice in December.
Done with the Eagles and Cowboys before they even see the Redskins.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.
You know, the bye right in the middle of the season, and then you've got the 3-game homestand. It's been well documented. The Giants have struggled in recent years in the second half of the season. Maybe that's a chance for them to build some momentum.
Not exactly easy games. Packers, yeah. Cowboys, and then at Redskins,
yeah.
By the way.
Well, but I'm saying Raiders, Packers, Cowboys. Sure. You get 3 home games. You know, the road games in December to San Diego and in Detroit, you know, rather than, say, going to Chicago, the weather should not be a factor in those 2 December road games, which is huge. You don't know how it's going to be on December 1st in Washington, but we were there on December 3rd last year for a night game, and the weather was fine. So, you know, I really think there's a very good chance the division title could come down to that season finale against Washington on December 29th. Be the third year in a row. The NFC East title will come down perhaps to the Sunday night game on the last day of the season.
I think the Eagles have the Eagles play the Cowboys in that final.
Well, yeah,
game,
they have to. We're playing the Redskins. Right. The Eagles are playing the Cowboys since it's all division games, and they're down in Dallas after the Cowboys lost winner-take-all games on the road to the Giants and Redskins the last 2 years. There was no way they were going to be on a road in Week 17.
Is every single Week 17 game a division game?
Yes.
Every single one?
Oh, yeah, it's been that way for 3-4 years.
I knew the great majority were. I honestly didn't realize that every single one was.
Yes, every game is a division game in Week 17.
And just from our perspective, you know, traveling to San Diego in December, I don't think anyone's going to be complaining
That's pretty good. Long trip, but, you know, I thought it was interesting. I thought we'd get a Thursday night home game because we were on the road in Carolina last year for Thursday night, but we go to Chicago. Then you have the 11-day break before the home game against the Vikings.
And putting the Monday night after the Thursday night, I thought was a little strange.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have that 11-day break. That's a little weird. It's only the second Monday night game the Giants will have hosted in the Coughlin era. You know, it's interesting. The Cowboys and Panthers are Week 1 and Week 3, just as they were last year.
That is interesting.
Another Week 3 trip to Carolina. So, very interesting
the
schedule.
Dave Gettleman Bowl.
The Dave Gettleman
Bowl. Or it
can
be the Dominic Hickson or Chase Blackburn Bowl, if you prefer.
And, you know, the thing that overall, you know, 5 of the Giants' home games, 5 of the 8 are against 2012 playoff teams. And only 1 road game, the Redskins game, is against the 2012 playoff team. So they clearly have a very difficult home schedule. I mean, the Seahawks, well, you know, again, you can't project health and how good or bad a team's going to be in December, in April, but, you know, the Seahawks look like they're going to be a very good team.
Yeah, they do. And it's funny, you mentioned those road games and only one playoff team among them. That's true. However, I think everyone would agree the Lions are probably better than what their record showed last year. People expect improvement. The Bears, they finished with 9 wins or 10? Last year. They finished with 10, right?
Yeah.
So they're a team the Giants have to face on the road. I think most people expect the Panthers and the Chiefs to be much improved from last year. So you really never know from year to year. And it's funny, before last year, the Giants or the Road Warriors couldn't win at home. Last year, they flipped that script a little bit. Now we'll see, based on their opponents, if that happens to flip back this year.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. they really have to get back to playing better on the road.
They really do. Mike, we appreciate the time as always, my friend.
My pleasure.
Michael Eisen, beat reporter for Giants.com. Thank him for joining us this morning. Tomorrow we'll get a couple of the guys on from NFLDraftBible.com, talk some NFL draft prospects as we get ready for the NFL draft on Thursday night. For Michael Eisen, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Big Blue Kickoff Live every weekday morning at 10 a.m. right here on Giants.com.